Catch the emphasis, the desire, catch the passion. The Apostle John writes, 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The Apostle John, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, writes, Behold. Behold. This one word is written to arrest our attention, our full attention, in order to emphasize what is about to be said. The word behold brings with it a sense of wonder and amazement, a sense of humble adoration and burning devotion. What is it that the Apostle John desires us to behold? God's love toward his children. As John writes this, his heart, his mind, and his soul are intensely preoccupied with God's amazing love. And he writes this under the direct influence of the Spirit with the desire that all believers will know the love of God which passes our finite comprehension. John reminds believers of God's love because he knows that it is possible to forget about God's love and it is possible to take for granted the depths of God's astounding love. Like those of us who are daily observers of the sunrise and the sunset, and yet we fail to stand in awe of the beauty and majesty of the colors splashed across the sky, John says, Behold. Like those of us who walk under the star-lit sky at night, failing to look up and be amazed at the power and majesty that surrounds us, especially here in the desert, John says, Behold. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. When was the last time you were captivated and amazed by God's love? When was the last time you felt that your heart might explode after considering God's love for you? If you cannot remember such a time, it is evidence that you have grown forgetful or have taken God's love for granted. And my message is for you this morning. John says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Here is where I would like to focus our attention this morning. I would like us to consider the manner of His love toward us. What kind of love is God's love toward His children? How does He love them? What are the characteristics of His love toward His sheep? This is John's focus. He does not say, Behold, what love? He says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. So consider first this morning with me God's love. And God's love is a tender love. It is a tender love because God's love is a pure love. It is a love without sin and without hypocrisy. And the Apostle John opens in the writing of his book, 1 John, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And God does no wrong. God is perfectly holy and without sin. And therefore, God always does what He does. And He does what He does in the life of His children, always meaning well. Though we do not know His purpose, Romans 8:28 gives us the assurance that His love is a tender love. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. You see, God's love is a merciful, forgiving love. Not a harsh or abusive and delighting in justice type of love, as some perceive God to be in our world, especially those of the atheistic mindset. They are criticizing God to be some sort of harsh tyrant who delights in justice and condemnation. They say such things as, well, look at God destroying the Israelites after He brought them out of Egypt. God opened the earth and swallowed up Korah and all of his followers for his rebellion. God struck Miriam with leprosy. God killed well-meaning Uzzah for touching the ark when it was falling off the cart pulled by oxen. God killed Nadab and Abihu for offering unauthorized fire before the Lord. God killed Ananias and Sapphira for lying. These were the followers of God. These were not the Egyptians, the Philistines, the Amorites. They were not the enemies of God. These were part of the chosen nation of Israel, the nation he called his treasured possession. And they say such things as, is this the tender love of God toward his own children? And our answer is, yes. I've confused some of you already, I can tell. Let me explain. We only struggle to see this as God's merciful love because our view of mercy has been distorted by our culture. Most think mercy to be avoiding correction at all costs. We have redefined mercy into a soft, non-confrontational acceptance of all sin, but this is not mercy. Remember, God's mercy is not punishing us as our sins deserve. That is a definition of mercy. The rebellious acts of Korah, Miriam, Uzzah, Nadab and Abihu, Ananias and Sapphira should have led them to God's abandonment. The law was clear. They chose to exercise their own will and rebel against God. God would have been good to punish them more severely. And what did they get instead? Heaven. Did you catch it? Oh, the atheist wants to say, God's a cruel God. Look at what he did to Korah. Look at what he did to Miriam. Look at what he did to Uzzah. Yeah, look what he did. He brought them into his presence. Those who are true Christians were brought straight to heaven. Those left on earth were relieved from the disobedient and non-compliant beings in their midst. This is merciful. The Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Those who accuse God of being harsh are those who blindly and purposefully glance over his mercy that endureth forever. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. God saved Israel from bondage and called them unto himself. He could have called another nation. God mercifully sent prophets to the people to warn them of their wicked ways and to give an invitation of mercy if they will repent and turn back to God. God destroyed some, bringing many into his presence, but he also showed mercy to those who failed. Example, Jonah. When Jonah turned away from God's clear commandment to go to the Ninevites and cry against them for their sin, and Jonah disobeyed and God had to humble and teach Jonah because God was a tender, merciful, loving father. We see the same with David after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. David, after devising a plan to take out Bathsheba's husband, becomes a murderer. David pouring out his heart to the Lord, Psalm 51, and forgiving David because he is a merciful God. Peter denying Christ 3 times. And Peter weeping, and in his weeping, feeling the tender mercies of God being restored unto the Father. And we see that restoration magnified when we see Peter preaching a great message at Pentecost, where over 3,000 souls were saved. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Deuteronomy 4:31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. Micah 7:18-19, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Behold, what manner our God is a tender, merciful God. And then we say our God is a God that is faithful, and therefore God's love is a faithful love. That is, it is an unchanging love. God's love does not change because God does not change. The Bible says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. James says in James chapter 1, with God there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Which means that God's love is unchanging. He does not love His children one day and forsake them the next. He does not give us the assurance of salvation at one period of time, only to destroy our soul at the end of our life. God and His love is unchanging. This was the Apostle Paul's foundation for his life and ministry. Listen to him as he says in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God's love is a faithful love. It is an unchanging faithful love. It is an unfailing faithful love. Peter failed. God still loved him. David failed. God still loved him. Jonah failed. God still loved him. God does not disown His children. And this is the wonderful doctrine of the eternal security of the believers. Once you are adopted into God's family, you are there. And there's no escaping. We are kept not by our own power, but by His power. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. It is an unfailing love. Man's love is changing and often failing, is it not? One day your relationship with others is strong and lively. The next day it is distant and non-existent. Just look at past Thanksgiving feasts. Politics gets brought up. Oh, now we're against our family members and we don't invite them the next year. Man and woman pledge their love to each other for a lifetime at the marriage altar. Years later, they forsake one another, not wanting anything to do with each other. Man's love is fickle and failing, but God's love is faithful and unfailing. Praise be to God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us. It is unchanging and it is unfailing. We live in a life of change. The weather changes. Our schedule changes. Our health changes. The appearance changes with age. Our finances change, but God never changes. People fail us, don't they? People in the workplace fail us. People who are closest to us in our families, they fail us. Church members fail us. Society, politicians fail us. Different message. We are failed by men all the time, but God never fails. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. God's love is a tender love. God's love is a faithful love. God's love is an eternal love. Dovetailed with God's faithful love is His eternal love. That is, this love that God gives to His children goes beyond this life. And praise be to God for this. The Bible says, death shall not separate us from the love of God. Romans 14:8. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Jesus said in John 14:3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Psalm 103:17, but the mercy, that is the love of the Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. And the whole psalm of Psalm 136 is a psalm of God's eternal love. We when you're feeling depressed and you're doubting God's love and you're wondering if this love will persevere to the day of your death, you're wondering if this love shall go beyond death itself, read Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy, that is, His loving kindness endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, the God of gods, for His love, His mercy endureth forever. And for 26 verses, this phrase is repeated over and over and over, seeking to burn it in the hearts of His children that God's love is an eternal love. What other God promises such love? Can the Pope promise that love? Can Buddha promise that love? Can Muhammad promise that love? The answer is no. God is love. And Jesus Christ is the direct manifestation of the love of the Father. God's love is eternal. And then our fourth point, God's love is an undeserving love. His love is all of grace. Can you hear the tone of grace when John says this? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us, has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I see John prostrate, repenting in dust and ashes. I see him humble as he's writing this because he knows that God's love is an undeserving love. John is in awe that God would choose him to love. John knows that he cannot merit the favor of God. John knows that there is nothing in himself that would cause God to save him. John knows that God's love is an undeserving love, a love that flows from the fountain of grace. And this gracious love of God is God's special love towards His own children. There is a common grace, a common love toward all men, and the Bible speaks of this. But there is also a special grace, a special love to those who belong to Him. Listen again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He is speaking largely to those who are in Christ, those who have been born again. And John is saying, why us? Are we more lovable than those who do not know Christ? Are we somehow smarter than those who do not know Christ as Savior and Lord? The answer is, we are what we are by the grace of God. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, Christians, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And again, don't allow our emotionally unstable world to steal this precious truth from us. God is love. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He causes the sun to shine on the evil and the good. The Bible says, Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all. Yet God has a particular, passionate, protecting, providing love for His sheep. See it from Scripture. God has a particular, passionate, protecting, providing love for His children. Put it in the marriage terms, all right? Ready? God has a particular, passionate, providing, protecting love for His bride. And I have a particular, providing, protecting love for my bride and my children. Oh yes, I want the good for all the world and for all the children. I want the good for all spouses, but you step in and start hurting my wife. There's a special protective love that I have. You get in the way and seeking to harm my children. There's a special protecting, passionate, providing love that I have. Amen. And so it is with God. And we need to understand this, because if we don't, this makes Christianity on the same playing field as the world. There's nothing special about Christians. God loves the world as He does Christians. The same. There's no difference. And so it really takes away the glory and the wonder and the blessing of Christianity. God so loved the world. Yes, that is biblical truth, but it is biblical truth. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, we who know Christ, those who have been called unto Him. And this is why the Scriptures emphasize Christ died for the church. Christ, the Good Shepherd, laid down His life for His sheep. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Well, he's talking about the Jews there. Well, we are all Jews inwardly if we have Christ. Is that my timer to be done? Failure to understand this vital doctrine will take away the burning passion of the love God has bestowed upon us. We sing it. We sing the truths of these wonderful Bible texts. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word wrought peace within my heart. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The lost world does not sing such truths because they are alienated from Christ. They have never been transformed by the power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They may give a verbal, intellectual assent to the love of God. They may blindly think that God in His love is accepting of their wicked ways, but they are strangers to the love of God. Those of us who have been born again, born by the Spirit, born from above, are those who sing these songs from the heart with joy on our faces, because we know what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We know as we sing these songs that God's love toward us is a tender love. It is a faithful love. It is an eternal love. It is an undeserving love. And the greatest expression of God's love toward us is found in Christ. How do we know God loved us? Because He sent His Son to die in our place. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Christ's love, demonstrated through Calvary, is the fire behind our invitation to unbelievers. We say to unbelievers, those who are outside of Christ, those who do not have the faith once delivered to the saints, we say, because of your sin, the wrath of God is abiding over you. Your rebellion has angered God. Your sin will lead to your final doom. And we say, repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your wicked ways and look to the one who redeems by His blood. Be reconciled to God. And once you are reconciled to God, you will know the peace that passes all understanding. You will know the joy unspeakable and full of glory. You will know love so amazing, so divine, that demands my life, my soul, my all. This is the love of God. Believer, let me ask you then, have you forgotten God's love toward you? Have you taken God's love for granted? It is possible to become like the Ephesians in Revelation, where they left their first love. It is possible to go throughout our Christian life, our Christian journey, and to simply go through the motions without understanding that the Christian life is about a love relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Oh, we think the Christian life is about coming to church and being moral and doing and not doing certain things and having a little social, spiritual club. But the Christian life is about having a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And this love relationship is something that's cultivated every day. And just like in a marriage, it's possible for a spouse to forget their love one for another. It's possible for a spouse to quit cultivating the love that they once had before they were married and when they were first married, and love becomes cold. But I'm calling you through the words of the Apostle John, behold, what manner, as we look at the sunset and we say, wow, what majesty, what a marvel. As we look at the stars and we're amazed and humbled by the power of the stars, so we ought to daily, as believers, look at the love of God, and we do so by looking to the cross, looking to Christ, by opening up the Scriptures and saying, behold, He has loved us with an everlasting love, and with His loving kindness He has drawn us unto Himself. Perhaps you've been doubting God's love. And there is a prison of doubt that comes to the believer's mind. When trials come, when heartaches come, when your health is failing, when people reject you, sometimes the devil whispers in your ear, God doesn't love you. Take these truths and speak back to Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. This is the foundation of our Christian life, the love of God. May we rejoice in this love. May we respond by loving Him more, and may we share this love to a world who really does not know true love. And may we tell them that they can know this true love, this love that is tender, merciful, this love that is faithful, this love that is never failing, this love that lasts for eternity, this love that comes by grace. They too can know this love by looking to Christ and believing on Him. Let us pray. Father, thank You for this truth of John. No wonder he was called the beloved disciple, the one who was intimate in relationship with You. He understood Your love. He understood the love of Christ. It was daily his delight and his passion. He feasted on the truths of the love of God, and it is no wonder he had such an intimate relationship with You. Father, we confess that there are many loves of this world that seek to steal our heart and our attention away. The love for money and the love for pleasure, the love for other people. These things creep into our hearts and they seek to steal away the greatest love and the love for Christ. And we're asking this day that You would renew our love for You. That God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. And Father, we confess there are times in which we go through the religious motions, and yet we are not in awe of Your love. We are not in awe of Your grace and what You have done for us. Please, Lord, we repent and we turn and we ask that You would remind us each and every day. Give us a steadfastness to read Your love letter, the Bible, each and every day, so that we might be renewed in our minds, so that we might be comforted by the Holy Spirit throughout our week regarding this truth. Father, thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.